Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Joe, you know what I'm reminded of? How many times in the last like 4 or 5 years, the Bills have ended a team's season in week two, and it feels like that just happened to the Jets.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Week one wasn't that bad. What if...
Like, yeah, we're not ready for this.
Nope.
Like, oh my God, what are we... Look at this.
Yeah.
Explosions. They were, I mean, it was over.
Yes.
It was over fast.
Things falling from the ceiling. Oh. Wait a minute. Maybe Aaron Glenn is totally out of his depth.
Right.
Fourth down calls. Justin Fields. You know, if they turn this thing around...
The Fields part of it. Feels like maybe he's the guy.
Yeah.
There was that question was asked after week one. Like, maybe this could be the guy.
Didn't they do that with Mike
27
White?
Yards.
Right. Mike White threw four touchdowns for the Jets once. I was like, maybe Mike White's the guy. Like,
I remember that. Yeah.
No, he's not the guy. Yeah.
The Jets are still living the Bills drought life.
Yes.
What my takeaway from yesterday is oh, that team is still doing what we were all doing for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're in the middle of it.
Yeah, the coach sends a message because he cut a guy who fumbled. And, oh, you know, that's going to be around here. It's going to be accountability. Like,
And then we're going with tail between our legs on 4th and 1 at – was it on the Bills side of the field? There were some egregious 4th down calls by Aaron Glenn yesterday. Yeah, I mean, if you were – I liked the idea of him. Like, hey, come change the culture of this team. It's a laughing stock, and you're coming from Detroit. I tended to think, you know, you're under Dan Campbell for a couple of years, you might see the value in being like super aggressive in certain positions and the way you play offense, and he's just none of that.
No. Nope.
At least he wasn't yesterday.
No, they weren't up to it. They weren't up for it. The Bills outclassed the Jets pretty much start to finish. And whether it was the Jets making mistakes or whatever, you know, there's the penalty on where it's Michael Clemens, the roughing the passer that gives them a new set of downs after it would have been 4th and very long.
Yep.
I mean, just over and over again, mistakes, drops, Fields missing open receivers, Fields fumbling because Joey Bosa punches it out. It was a lot of things. To me, you couple it with what Baltimore did to the Browns, and what we saw was, oh yeah, that's right. Remember the two best teams in the AFC probably played week one, and they played an instant classic. And then they went back down to the JV, I don't know. They went down to the lower class. They played out of conference tomato can warm-ups like Valdosta State in week two and got back to business and showed everybody the kind of team they can be. So, yeah. Good job, Bills. great win, and I feel like people are probably riding pretty high and expecting them to run the table until, well, that's a conversation, but at least for a couple of weeks.
It really is what it felt. It felt, I'm like, this is what Alabama felt like when they just play a normal season where they'll have a week one game against LSU, and then week two when they're playing, you know, Grambling, or they're playing Ohio University, and it's just... we're just going to beat them by easy.
This is but Ohio
it's
State
over after the first quarter.
When Ohio State plays Youngstown State every year.
Right.
In week two. Yep.
And man, like, that's just the whole division now, isn't it?
Yeah.
The whole division is like that.
Kind of feels like it.
I mean, we'll get another taste of that this Thursday, I think. I don't know how much people saw of the New England-Miami game. It was on at the same time as the Bills-Jets game, but those two teams do not look good either. Neither one of them.
No. They put up points, but they don't look very good. New England.
There was a back-to-back. There was a punt return touchdown by Miami, and on the ensuing kickoff, that was returned for a touchdown by New England. So that game was like weird in the high scoring, but still not really impressive by either side.
Yeah, so the Patriots forced their first punt of the season. It was in week two.
Yeah.
11 possessions had ended in points, and then they finally forced a punt. But anyway, it's a game that will be remembered for, what, two players on this team? Joey Bosa and James Cook? Are those the two shining stars on this roster after one game?
And Mitch Trubisky. No, I'm just kidding.
Trubisky, who ends up with more passing yards than Fields.
That's incredible, isn't
it? Stat of the day.
27 yards for Fields, 32 for Trubisky.
Incredible.
And really, if you want to include all the sack yardage in that, like, did, I think... Trubisky, I think Fields was minus two in net passing yards. Because they had 54, I saw they had 54 team passing yards yesterday. And Tyrod had 56. So I think I'll have to look. But I think Fields might have ended up in the negative yesterday. And Trubisky threw a 32-yard pass. But no, that game is, oh, that's what Joey Bosa could look like. Playing at his peak.
Premier pass rusher.
Premier all over the quarterback. The punch out on the second drive was huge. And this is a quarterback that does take sacks, so, you know.
That helps.
That helps, but yep. he was beating his man all day, and that line was supposed to be pretty good. The line is supposed to be fine in New York, and the Bills looked like they had their way with it.
Four sacks for 29 yards lost for the Jets. Allen got sacked one time for 1 yard. So, okay. I mean, barely counts.
Tyrod got sacked too, by the way. So Fields was eight yards. Eight total net passing yards by Justin Fields on the day in a game he started and played into the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. In the third quarter, he had completed one pass. It was just a brutal performance from the Jets and dominating performance from the Bills. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll have lots to talk about with Bosa and how this Bills defense looked. My stat of the day, I got one of them here. This is a victory lap, if you will, on James Cook. James Cook is a tremendous running back. Can we, now that he's signed and we know he's not a perfect player, he's not on the field all three downs, he's a tremendous running back. This is not a guy just getting it done because the Bills' offensive line is creating these giant holes. We had the numbers on it from his contract extension. You know, he and Kyren Williams both extended it within 2 weeks of each other. And Kyren Williams is a three-down back and plays an awful lot, plays more snaps than Cook. And I remember vividly searching yards over expected for Cook versus some of the other guys that are considered in his tier. And Kyren Williams last year had like 300 carries, and his yards over expectation for the season was zero. He got nothing extra. It's just a guy who carries the ball. James Cook in this game had 42. Cook is a top 10 yards over expected back. Cook is a top 10 running back in this league at making it happen for himself, in addition to what he picks up that the line gives him there. He is tremendous, and he plays hard. Yesterday, I thought he was seeking out contact, running between the tackles, running hard. What's more impressive, the one-yard touchdown run or the 44-yard touchdown run? They're both impressive in their own right.
Right.
So kudos to James Cook. Like, game ball for him. He is fun to watch. He is clearly, can we also say this? He's a cut above their other backs. He's a lot better than that.
He is. I mean, we saw some of Ray Davis yesterday. He got 9 carries in the game, and a few of those were in the fourth quarter. But when he's out there, it's not
the same.
It's not the same level of dynamic ability that, you know, he might get to the second level and he'll get stopped there for 4 or 5 yards. And Cook is way more often going to turn it into 10 to 15.
Cook leads the league in 40-yard touchdowns since he came in. Mm-hmm. He leads the league. No one is a better breakaway back than him. It's awesome to watch. It's a weapon they have. It's nice to see. Here we are. We're in 2 weeks in, and there might be touchdown regression coming. People expect that he wouldn't have like 16 or 17 every year. But I'm going to expect he has these breakaway runs, and he is this really dynamic weapon that teams have to worry about because he's if he gets to the second level, he's an angle eraser. He's a 0 to 60 guy. He's so fun to watch. And I'm so glad that he's signed for a long term because I think it's a nice play.
Touchdown regret. I mean, he's got 3 in 2 games.
That's right.
He's on pace to actually exceed what he had last year.
Well, my fantasy teams are very happy about that. I've got him in a lot of places.
Would you take 11 touchdowns for him right now?
Probably. Sure.
That'd be eight more rest of the season.
I wonder where he's going to finish in yards over expectation. You know, I know it's an advanced fancy stat, but he's not a volume guy. He's a when you give it to him, you get more than you should. Because he's that good. Josh Allen got bloodied. He got hit in the nose.
Yeah, he got punched in the face. Cook, by the way, through the two games, is third in the league. Unless
yards over expectation?
Unless this is not updated to feature yesterday as well. But I think that it is. Yeah. Yeah, because yesterday he was number 2 on the day in the league. Only Jonathan Taylor had more. Cook was plus 42. Taylor was plus 56.
Okay. So he's number 3 in the league in yards over expectation. Who are 1 and 2?
For the year, it's number 1 Taylor, number 2 Derrick Henry.
There you go. Like the good backs.
And Derrick Henry did it all in week 1. He was actually in the negative yesterday.
Yeah.
He had
nothing.
He had 5 carries for 5 yards.
It was terrible yesterday.
Or 15 carries for 20 yards. Like he didn't do anything. And Cook was great. I do think the short yardage stuff is almost more impressive to me because of his size and his frame. Like he doesn't look like a back that can, you know, that can take on contact and keep pushing forward and in a short yardage situation. He doesn't read like that type of back, but then you see him out there and like he bounces off guys and he gets a couple of extra yards and he falls forward and there he is at the 1 yard line scoring a touchdown almost identically to the way he scored in the AFC Championship game where he takes a lick at the 1. He probably shouldn't score. And it's that same left hand down on the ground, and he's like holding his entire body up with his left arm and thrusting himself into the end zone. It looked like the AFC Championship touchdown. It wasn't as extreme or as exaggerated, I think. But same thing, like that play should stop at the 1, and he just finds a way to fall into the end zone. So that to me is almost more impressive because he's just not built like a back that should be able to do that, and he does it anyway.
Jump cut James. I'm going to start calling him that. Jump cut. A lot of jump cuts out there. And the goal line, the nose for the goal line, the nose for the end zone, like just fun to watch.
Did you notice yesterday that the Bills ran the same counter run play over and over and over and over and over? It was like in the Bills Cowboys game a couple years ago, they ran the same run play. It was like how Cook would hop from the left to the right, and they would run it like out of the shotgun to the left.
Yeah.
They ran the same play like 100 times, and this reminded me of that. Like yesterday, I kept watching. Like, they're running the same run play. They're not even changing. This was what Joe Brady said a couple years ago. It was like, yeah, I just ran it till they stopped it.
That was Dallas.
And they never stopped it, and that was Dallas. And I wonder if we're going to get the same answer out of him. Like, hey, it looked like you ran the same run play. He's like, yeah, I just ran it until they stopped it, and they never stopped it.
803-0550 to join us. We'll get some calls in here. That Dallas game, as I'm thinking back to it, is that the first we ever really get a taste of, wait a minute, maybe James Cook can be a feature back, a guy that carries the load. He was a monster in that
game.
Might
have been. Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if that day, it kind of opens everyone's eyes, and Brady included. We're thinking, you know what? What if we just keep giving the ball to this guy, build an offensive line, and let him go to work? 25 for 179 that day.
I think it was the first game of his career with 20 carries.
Yeah. He had 100 yards against the Denver Broncos and 100 against Vegas earlier that year. But, yeah, that's a 25-carry game for him, and it looks like it's the first time he got 25 or 20. And then he had 20 the next week, 1,100-yard season. Then, of course, last season, a further breakout season for him. He was very, very good, 1,000 yards rushing. Yeah. Again, only on, like, 207 carries.
But maybe like it was the first time where we thought you can win a game, and even like yesterday, maybe you can even win a game easily with Allen not really needing to do much.
Yeah.
Like not just, hey, Cook can have a big game, but Cook can kind of be your offense in a game against a inferior opponent. If you want Allen to kind of, you know, 25 attempts and that's it, and you're up in the second half and you don't need him to do much, and you just want it to be a Cook game, you can win a Cook game. And they didn't used to be able to do that, or they at least didn't used to try. Like, there were not games where Cook didn't do anything and it was Devin Singletary, 25 carries, and he was the whole game plan. Not that I remember.
No.
Maybe there's a one-off in there somewhere, but this happens. It happens a lot with Cook. Like, there's a lot of games where Allen just, 150 yards, didn't need to really do much because their run game was just pummeling people.
Miami last year in Miami.
Miami's
is a big Cook game.
Yeah.
The playoff game against Baltimore, Cook is a big part of that. The game against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, he's a big, got a big role in that game. And then in this one against the Jets, just, you know, a dominating performance. That 44-yard run, like, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better run in the league this year. And there might be a couple contenders, and there might be a couple that are better, but, man, it was just awesome to watch. To get to the second level, and then there's 0-60 just to get into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he didn't do the tumbling somersault dive that always makes me nervous.
No,
so.
he did the jet.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was a jet flying into the end zone, yeah.
803-0550. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. It's Victory Monday. Your Bills are 2-0, and we're chatting about it. On a short week, Miami's here on Thursday, so prepare for that. 803-0550. Paul in Buffalo joins us. Hey, Paul, good morning. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the air.
Guys, good morning. You hear me?
Yep, go ahead, bud.
Hey, what a game from James Cook. And Joe, as you were describing it, he did that parallel to the ground move again, and it's uncanny how he can hold himself with his left hand. And I'm imagining if any Buffalo Sabre were doing that, they'd break their wrist right off. They'd be out for the season. I mean, Cook is just, he's a physical specimen. His separation ability is unbelievable. Just what a dominating performance by the Bills. What a smart performance. When you're outclassing a team, a division rival, you're in their building, just run it on them, embarrass them, bully them the whole game. And how about, I got to give it up, Mitchell Trubisky, you get one shot, you abuse Sauce Gardner, hit a 25-yard crossing pattern on their best player. So it was just thoroughly, thoroughly dominating, and I am looking forward to the calls today for the people who are upset we didn't throw the ball enough. You guys will make my day hearing those people complain about the offense. Guys, have a good one.
Thanks, Paul. I don't expect any calls about that.
Yeah, I mean, they were up too quick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, by the time, I mean, at halftime, it's 20-3. Just you had half a game. You weren't going to throw it.
I don't even know what the you know, there are games where they score points and you might have your concerns about something that happened offensively. In this game, I didn't have any of it, including, you know, short yardage has been a bit of a problem for them. Red zone sometimes. Last week, it's 3 2-point conversions. Short yardage last week. Here, they got more creative in short yardage. They gave one to Ray Davis. Yep. They had Allen move the outside on one. Like, I thought that
Elijah Moore on the reverse.
I thought there were better, more creative ideas from the offense than just let's have Allen do the tush push, kind of sneak it in some version of that. So yeah, I mean Joe Brady's pretty good at this too. Like, where they can have a good offensive day and he could tell you what didn't go well. In this one, it's not that many. Keon Coleman offensive pass interference kind of kills a drive, and that was maybe a ticky-tack call. Maybe you thought it was a call, maybe not. Without that, they're in business for another score before the end of the half. So, I don't know. You could get real nitpicky here, but, man, it would be a lot of work to do so. Against Baltimore, I feel like there were legitimate concerns in the first half, and against a team like this, like, that didn't show up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a quick count. It looks like they called like 20, like, I think they called 24 pass plays in the first half. Like, a few of them ended up being Allen scrambles. One of them was an Allen sack. Yeah, like 23, 24 called pass plays in the first half. I mean, that's, what else you want, right? And that's what I thought they would do. Like, I thought they ran the ball too. They had a lot of plays. But I thought going into that game, you attack them out of the gates, you force them into a game that they don't want to play, which is dropping back with Justin Fields and not being able to run the ball all day with Breece Hall. And they did that. So by the time you do that, you don't need to throw the ball anymore. So I was fine with it. I thought they threw the ball plenty when they needed to early in the game, and when the game was 20-3, they decided, all right, cruise control time. And I thought that was fine. And the Trubisky play,
it's funny. He third down.
Well, because like he
get gets, in there, Mitch.
Does he get into the huddle with how much time is left on the play clock? Bills don't call timeout there. Like Allen sprints off the field, Trubisky runs on. The clock is running, and it's just like run in there, call the play, call the snap, throw it at Sauce Gardner. That was like super impressive.
Yes, it was.
It was not like an easy throw either. Like he wasn't wide open.
No, he ripped it.
Yeah.
Josh Palmer looked really good in this game. I think Palmer and Allen are starting to really develop a chemistry that is exciting. You know, he can get open on the outside. He can lose his man on the outside, and he's looking for him. Allen is looking for Palmer a lot. So like that, you see the budding chemistry with Palmer, the budding chemistry with Coleman. You know, things are coming together. And Elijah Moore, like good for him. Curtis Samuel inactive again, kind of lost in the shuffle. I wonder when he gets back in, if he does. Because if the offense kind of everybody settles into their roles, and here he is just kind of ready for somebody to get hurt, maybe that's it. The thing that I'll probably my take today, and I was already thinking about it during the game yesterday, I started to try and write it into one tweet and then decided, you know what, I'll just save it. I'm going to make people uncomfortable with how confident I am they're going to be the one seed if they stay healthy. I'm so confident about it.
How much of that is them, and how much of that though is
everybody
what's
else
going on around them?
There's a lot going on. You already have a 2-game lead on Baltimore. You already have a 2-game lead on the Chiefs. They do not look impressive. Your schedule is so easy. Cincinnati's season is over. Season is over. Browning is okay.
He's for a backup. He's actually pretty good.
Their season is over. I saw if you look at the schedule of who they're going to play in the next 3 months, the Bills are within that 3 months, and so is everyone else that is good. I want to revisit a Twitter poll that I posted on June 24th, 7:23 a.m. This was not at training camp. It was pre-training camp. The poll was, would you consider 8 sacks and a healthy for the postseason a home run for Joey Bosa? The Bills signed Bosa, 8 sacks, healthy for the postseason. Is that a home run? And the results were 89% yes. That's a home run. That's where I voted too.
Mm-hmm.
8 sacks, healthy, that's a home run. Would anyone like to try to cash in? You know what, actually, could I ask for more? Or you want to ask for more? Are you still good with that?
What we didn't include is that he's going to have 15 forced fumbles on this season.
Right.
He's already at 3. I think you probably want to stay with that, right? Like, if you're being smart, his problem has been injury. 2 games doesn't guarantee anything about his health coming your way January. So, sure, 8.5 sacks, it's not, oh, we've got a $30 million pass rusher on our hands. It's, all right, this guy's good, but I still think the priority should be his availability in January. So just, I would still take it.
As a cautionary tale, and I'm not here to throw, you know, water on this fire. Last year with the Chargers, Game 1, sack. Game 2, sack. Game 3, no sack. Inactive for 3 games.
Yeah.
Like, and then he started the season with 2 sacks in 2 games. Finished with 5 for the year. And he only missed 3. So,
could have been banged up when he got back, though.
That's right. That's not me saying this is a mirage or it's fluky. It's just 2 weeks in, it looks great. And last year, 2 weeks in, he was in a similar spot of 2 sacks in 2 games, and we'll see where it goes. But 8 and healthy for the postseason, 89% of you said home run in that spot, and I'm still inclined to agree. I mean,
it feels like more of a double because after seeing him for 2 games, you feel like there is more in there than 8.5 sacks.
Yes, but also the flip side of that might be now that you've seen him healthy for 2 games, you might think, you know what? If you want to shut it down until January 8th anyway, just I don't care if you finish
stop right now.
I don't care if you finish with 2 sacks.
Right. I mean, all the numbers look good, too. Like, he's fourth in the NFL, third in the NFL in pressure rate so far. He's getting quarterback hits. He came very close to getting Lamar Jackson for a 10-yard loss in week one, but he dove a little too soon, didn't get him. So you're seeing why he has value in the league for somebody that is always hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like, $12 million, $13 million, whatever he got, like, is not a lot for a pass rusher, but it is not nothing. And that's with all the injuries. So this is why he still has even any value, is when he's healthy and ready to go, he's capable of a couple of performances like that. So I still feel like the health is the number one goal for him, but I'm looking at a player that I feel like could have a 12 to 15 sack season, which does not really happen in Sean McDermott defenses. Vaughn was on his way, got hurt. Otherwise, usually guys don't play enough. And that's the other thing. 62% of the snaps through two games.
It's a big number.
With, by the way, one half of that game being like cruise control, one of the two games being cruise control. Like, that's a big number. That's not quite, hey, we're going to manage his workload. We're going to have a plan. Maybe the plan for him is more in practice throughout the year, and it was more about training camp, because he's playing as much as any defensive end has ever played for this team in a very small sample.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Any takeaways from the Prospects Challenge?
Good.
Speaking on the Sabres real quick, Georgiev signed. We didn't get you on as a goalie for Alexander Georgiev.
Yeah.
I saw yesterday Elliot Friedman talking about on his 32 Thoughts podcast, suggesting that Lukanen is hurt.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a tweak that they're just not really sure about
that,
yet.
That's exactly. Matthew Fairburn had that last week, too.
Okay,
like, right. He's got an injury. They don't know what the timeline is. They did call it a tweak.
Yeah, and but Friedman went out of his way to say they're not saying he is hurt. They're saying they don't know.
Exactly.
They don't know. They're kind of waiting. And that's where Georgiev signed, and Friedman went so far as to say, you'll notice Georgiev didn't get the NHL minimum. He got a little more,
right,
which is usually an indication that the team says, we have to get this done.
Yeah. When that signing first came through, I was confused and then thought, well, they need somebody, like, they're trying to get depth for Rochester. Like, they're just trying to make sure if they want to keep Levi down there that they don't need to call him up if Lyon or UPL gets hurt. And then this came out about UPL, and it's a little cloudier on what exactly Georgiev is going to do for them. I don't love it because I don't think he's an NHL-level goaltender anymore. He was great in New York when he started off and has really struggled ever since then. It's been bad for him. So I would be concerned if their plan is for him to play games in the season, especially early when they need to start off well. So the Georgiev thing is an interesting move. And then prospects challenge wise, yesterday I called the game with Brayton and Paul. Milosh looked good. He gave up a lot of goals, but not really anything he could have done about much of any of them. It was a couple of backdoor plays and some weird bounces.
Who's this? Who looked good?
Samuel Milosh, their fifth round, I believe, pick from this season. He played the whole game yesterday. The plan was for him to split with Raslav. Raslav did not play any games in this tournament because he was sick, so we did not get to see him. But it was interesting. They were winless, like I mentioned, and the top guys didn't do a whole lot. Like Rosén, Hellenius, Wahlberg, those guys didn't look as dominant as you would hope that they would in a setting like this. It was more the depth pieces that did stuff for the Sabres.
Mertko looked good in the first game.
Looked good in the first game. He looked good yesterday when I saw him. Like, really solid, just confident, good with the puck, can really skate, and made a couple of nice hits. And it was you know, you try not to take too much out of these prospects challenge.
No, the number one way to win a prospects challenge, I think, sorry to be snarky here, is to hit people.
Yeah.
That's seriously how you win. You come away with four hits, people walk out of that building like, I'll tell you, I like that guy. He hit people.
Yeah, people still remember the name Matej Pekar, who never played a single game for the Sabres.
Right.
He
hit guys. Of that. He mixed it up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they looked dangerous. The Hellenius yesterday was dominant. Looked really good. Didn't end up scoring. He had an assist. But he looked really, really good. It seemed kind of like every game there was a different sort of star of the show. And yesterday for me, that was Hellenius. Rusinski was good yesterday, too.
On Georgiev, I think he's going to play.
And that scares me.
I don't think you sign him. I like to take it from the player's perspective. Is he coming to the Buffalo Sabres if he thinks he's playing in the AHL? He wasn't good last year. He was horrible last year.
Yeah.
He's played the fifth most games in the National Hockey League in the last three seasons. And not to make like a judgment just on where the guy's from, but where do those Eastern European guys generally go when they're out of options in the NHL? They don't go be an AHL backup. They go to the KHL or they go to the Finnish League, which is where he's been before.
Yeah.
So that's where I believe he's not signing up to be Devin Levi's backup in Rochester.
The extra money indicates that, too. And not that it's a lot, but it's something. And I don't think you're giving that to a guy that's going to just stick around in the AHL and help out your developing goaltender.
And listen, I'm not telling you he's been good at all in the last 3 years, but whether it's save percentage, whether it's goal saved above expected, you want to look at delta save percent, every single number, maybe not every single number, but a lot of the numbers you'll find in the last three seasons, he's better than UPL.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they don't have a lot to do, like they don't have a lot there in terms of high level play. And so you sign a guy like this, and I think on most teams you would be like, he's going to not play for the team. But because they are where they're at in net and they don't want to force Levi into it, they're in a position where they're in the bargain bin looking for a guy that's been bad for the last couple of years.
Whatever. Throw a dart, and if Lukanen's back and he doesn't have a spot, then he'll go over to Europe.
Right.
See my tweet about the Sabres the other day, by the way, very quick?
Which one?
When they sign Alex Tuck, if it's $8.3 million or more, they'll have the most cap spent for next season in the NHL. Already committed to next season.
Yeah.
The moment they sign Tuck, they're going to be number one in the NHL in dollars already committed by next season. Which I don't know whether that makes me feel good or bad, because I guess good because, okay, they actually are spending money, but also bad because they're spending money on what?
Right. They're spending money because they've got guys locked up. Because they locked him up early.
It's time to pay guys.
Right, and now it's just that the toll is due. And, you know, they have the most for next year because they probably won't, you know, they're going to have to not do a lot because they're going to have less cap space than everybody else. So they're going to go in, no matter what happens this year, with less room to work with to change over the team, unless there are massive overhauls coming, which is possible. That's your way out of that. So I did see that, Joe, and I thought about that in the same way. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. You need to see how it goes this year to know how you feel about that, I think.
803-0550. Sabre season approaches.
1 week.
Here we go.
And how long until the season opener against the Rangers?
That's
October 9th.
Yeah, 9th.
So less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, up on you. Go ahead and take a guess at who starts in goal their first night. It's not easy.
No, it's not, because is it Alex Lyon?
It's probably Alex Lyon.
It's going to be Lyon.
Now, you made me bet I'd pick him.
Because UPL's tweaked, if he's in fact tweaked.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll find out more. They start training camp Wednesday. And if he's on the ice already, he's just kind of managing it, I would expect him to start the season.
Let's have tomorrow go better than day one of training camp last year. Remember what happened day one of training camp last year? 90 seconds in, Rasmus Dahlin got hurt.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's just have it go better than that, and it'll be a good day.
Absolutely.
I don't remember that.
He got hurt a minute in.
Yeah.
A minute into the first, I think you might have been off that day, because we were on the air, and it's like, all right, Sabres are hitting the ice, and like it was consecutive tweets of they're on the ice for practice, Dahlin's hurt. Like, what? Of course, right?
Yeah, that's tough. What else? I had something else on the Sabres. I forget what it was.
We'll get to the cap going up double in the next 10 years. That was another report from yesterday.
Double, huh?
It'll double in the next 10 years.
I'd need to do a better job supervising all of the orchestration within our multiple personnel groups. So to win games, you have to win the game. Not lose the game, honestly, and that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
Mike McDaniel explaining what happened to a point in the Dolphins lost to the Patriots. They're trailing 33-27. They think they get an Achan touchdown. He steps out of bounds, a lengthy review for that, and then they get a delay of game twice, right? Two delay of games to drop back 5 yards, two procedural penalties to go from first and 10 to second and 20, and things go south. Like, they're not set. They're getting out of the huddle late. Procedural stuff, the stuff that can make it tougher for an offense to operate. So that's why they're 0-2, and they lost to New England because of the end of the game.
The kind
of
stuff that different quarterback, but the kind of stuff that lost them that playoff game here a couple years ago. Remember at the end of that game, they could not get a playoff. It was like, was it three delay a game or false starts on the final drive of that game?
That I don't remember, but I'll take your word for it.
The final sequence, like they have the ball with a chance still, and they could not get a play in. Like, I'll have to find exactly how many it was, but I think it was three.
This is the one the Bills win 34-31?
Yep. Miami's got the ball at the end, and they can't get a play in. And they have a backup quarterback in, and the crowd's going crazy, right? Yeah, it's a playoff game, but...
Skylar Thompson
is in.
Yeah.
It's a complicated offense, but that's part of the consequence.
So Miami in that game has a first and 10 on the Bills, their own 14.
Yep.
So they got to go a long way to get a field goal to tie it.
Right.
And incomplete, timeout, looking for penalties. Yeah, 5-yard penalty, incomplete, 4-yard penalty. So two penalties on that. One delay a game. And
did they use a timeout also?
One false start. They did use a timeout. Yeah.
So maybe they lost a timeout because the clock wasn't was in their face too. It was tough. It was a tough scene at the end for them.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The game ends at Miami's 44. It's a 4th and 5, 2:29 to go. And Skylar Thompson incomplete for Mike Gesicki. Kyir Elam in coverage.
Yeah, he had a good game.
He got hurt.
He got a big interception in that game, maybe when the Bills were trailing. There's a big Kyir Elam interception in that game, like in Miami territory. I forget the exact details what the score were, but I remember being a momentum changer.
It was what was the in score? That game? It's Dean Marlowe had a pick in that game.
He did. I remember that. Yeah.
And then the interception for here we go. Yeah, it's 24-20. Miami is leading
with the ball.
With the ball.
How about that?
And Elam intercepts a pass intended for Trent Sherfield.
Yikes.
Right. Anyway, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Wednesday. Game tomorrow at the stadium. It'll be beautiful once again.
Dude, don't Bills fans love what Miami's become so much? Especially because of all the them getting close to the Bills for a couple of years and 70 points and like number one in power rankings.
Well, if your life is talking trash with other fans, it's been ideal. Because they've had a little bit of a taste of maybe they can do it, and then every time it's like, no, you can't.
Right.
So it's the perfect trash talking relationship for a Bills fan with a Dolphins fan, I would think.
And this should be the end of it. Because Dolphins fans aren't talking trash to a Bills fan going into tomorrow.
No,
they're busy flying banners over their stadium and planes that say fire the head coach.
Sure. I would imagine as someone who has, you know, been in this spot following multiple teams that I like, sometimes you want to lose so you can change. Mm-hmm. I don't like what's happening. I want to change. And the way to bring about change is to lose. I've done that with, of course, the Sabres. I did it with Syracuse football. I've done it with the Bills, probably, where like, yeah, I'd like the coach gone. So, you know, I think this plan is not working. I don't want false hope. I want to get on a plan that will work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Miami fan, you might get to that spot. Wouldn't be crazy at all. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Miami in the spotlight too against the Bills.
Yeah, if they're getting hammered tomorrow. All social media, everything the next day, Friday morning with sports television and radio, just everything's going to be, yeah, this is over and they need to blow it up.
Yep.
And maybe go to a different quarterback at the end of the season if they're going to be in a draft position to do it. I wonder if they can be that bad. Like, they look terrible. And New England doesn't even look great, and they lost to them at home. So Tua is still the quarterback. That might make you think, like, okay, well, that's at least going to be a 6-7 win team, right? Like, at their worst. But maybe not. Maybe they could be, like, a 3-win team.
Mm.
And if they're that, they'll be in position in what I think is supposed to be a really good quarterback class to just do it quickly. You know, like, get a new coach, get a new GM, get a new quarterback in 1 year. I don't think that's out of the question.
No, I don't either.
Doesn't mean it has to work. New England's going through that right now, and they haven't started the year great, but man, that's, if I were in Miami, that's exactly what I would want, and I would feel like that's within my grasp. I just got to have a 3-4 win season.
Extra Point Show today at 10 o'clock. Programming note, Sean McDermott, because again, like the entire week is moved with Thursday night football and the Bills on Thursday night. So Sean McDermott is scheduled to join the Extra Point Show right about 10 a.m. this morning. You can kind of get the update if anybody has been ruled out or how the game's, you know, how the injury report looks. Sean McDermott about 10 a.m. with Sal. 803-0550 if you want to pop in with us, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. So the game tomorrow, Bills, if they win, 3-0, and I wonder where the odds move to. Baltimore has a big one next week with Kansas City. Baltimore also plays
Detroit this week,
Detroit,
right?
This,
Monday Night Football.
This week.
They could lose that game.
They could. That game is the Ravens and Lions. That's in Baltimore. But Monday Night Football, we will be invested. If the Ravens lose to the Lions, which is very possible, they then play, by the way, the Chiefs, Texans, Rams. Like Baltimore has gauntlet here. Even though the Texans are 0-2, I feel like that's not a pushover team. And Right now, the Bills on FanDuel for the one seed are minus money. It's minus 105. But basically, it's an even bet for the Bills to be the one seed.
Yeah.
And it is week two.
Right. It happening this early is nuts.
Everything has fallen so well so far. Things could go bad. If you want to be nervous about the one seed, go for it. I don't think you should be nervous about the Dolphin game. But the one seed, a lot can still happen. But the Bills are minus 105. The Ravens are plus 350. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers are plus 600. Where do I go next? The Chiefs are plus 1,400.
Wow.
And if you want the AFC South, the Colts.
The Colts.
Plus 2,000.
Yeah, because no way.
The Bills are even money to be the number one seed 2 weeks in. In the NFC, it's the Packers that are the favorite, and the Eagles are right there,
what
too.
What are the Packers is the
plus
favorite?
Plus 250.
That's a big difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Even money 2 weeks in.
It's basically the Bills or the field.
It's going to create...
And the field is two... The field really feels like it's two teams.
It's two teams. I want to include the Chargers because they are also 2-0.
Well, that's the team I'm including.
Okay, not including the Ravens. You should include the Ravens.
The two teams. The field is two teams.
Yeah.
The Bills, and then I've got a two-team field that I'm really thinking about.
Chargers-Ravens?
Chargers-Ravens.
Yeah.
Play 60 minutes. Dominate.
Takes the handoff, rolling to his left to Fields. Has time. Pressure coming from Epinesa. Now going to tuck it and run. And he's decked from behind. Ball is out. And the Bills have the football. Joey Bosa forces a fumble.
Offense, we get up. Close the Bengal game out.
Allen back to pass. Looking over the middle. And he's got him in the end zone for a touchdown. It's Dalton Kincaid. Another handoff. Cook going to cut it back through a hole. Dodges a defender. Up and out the gate to the races. Down to the 20. 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook.
Special teams, big plays for us and against them.
Down to 3 seconds. Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick on the way. And it is good. And Matt Prater, in his first game as a Buffalo Bill, has won the ball game.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, I was immediately decided I needed to find out what game that was from. Kyle Williams' famous speech, and the gentleman in the room here immediately said, that's from the Miami game where Kyle Williams scores a touchdown. Like, all right.
Which is the game where they break the drought.
It is. The question I have is, did the offense, in fact, dominate? The offense the Bills have these days, good morning, Jeremy and Joe, dominates. How did that Bills offense do? Well, they won 22-16.
Okay. Not super impressive so far, but not bad.
We're sure this is the game Kyle Williams had a touchdown?
Yeah, that's the game.
He did.
They're in Miami. He scores a touchdown to go up like multiple scores.
Yeah, they go up 19-0.
Like 16, they were on cruise control.
Yeah, 19-0, and they end up winning 22-16. So
right.
Miami gets a touchdown and a touchdown, including an onside kick.
Right. And the quarterback is... Jay Cutler started the game.
You want it? I got it here.
He got pulled for... Why is Foles in my head? It's not Foles.
It's not Foles.
Who is it?
There are two quarterbacks. Wow. Oh. There are... Let me find out all the quarterbacks that attempted passes in this game. Might just be one. You're right.
Fails.
Yes. Cutler, one for
David
two
fails.
For 6 yards. And David Fails goes 29 of 42 for 265, a touchdown and an interception. All right.
Kyle Williams scored a touchdown. I remember there was a long Nick O'Leary touchdown in that game from Tyrod that might have been early in that game. And then they all went to the locker room and watched them make the playoffs. It was a great day.
Tyrod to Nick O'Leary for 26 yards.
Okay, maybe that wasn't that long.
Well, I mean, the pass is classified as deep right to Nick O'Leary.
All right. Nowadays, deep pass seems like it's like 50 yards, but maybe with him it was a little bit shorter.
Was he wearing gloves?
No, definitely not. Never. He wouldn't be caught dead wearing gloves in a game, Nick O'Leary.
I tried to find Tyrod to Nick O'Leary, and the first one that came up, I believe, is a game that is not that game. So Nick O'Leary caught multiple 20-yard touchdowns in his career with the Bills?
I guess. Maybe it was the same play. They just had it. ready to go, and they cooked it up for the big important moments, like trying to make the playoffs playing David Fales, that quarterback.
Did he do the same play? Okay, never mind. This is just 25-yard gain, not a touchdown. Might have been the same play, because this one's Tyrod to Nick O'Leary against the Dolphins. Nick O'Leary, Dolphins killer.
Yes.
Let's gloss in that today. Happy game day. It is Buffalo Bills Football Thursday. Yeah, all right, why not? Yeah. We're going to talk with a bunch of guests along the way today. We've got Sal Capaccio set to join us. Mike Catalano will join us as well from WHAM and Buffalo Plus to talk Bills Dolphins, the history of the series, the rivalry as well. Sal's got good stuff on that too. Listen to the Extra Point show yesterday, Sal, basically kind of chronicling it all the way back to its birth. And also today, Chris Brown, who's got the call of the game. So he'll join us at 8:30, kind of treating it like a Buffalo Bills Football Friday, but it's a Thursday and they play. And it's the first game of the week, of course. It's also the biggest spread of the year.
So far.
And that will probably change as soon as the game ends and the Bills and Saints spread gets put on the board next week. So it's the biggest spread of the year so far.
Which means it would be easily the most shocking result if Miami somehow figured out some way to win this game tonight. It's the NFL is the best reasoning you've heard as to how they could win the game is, well, it's the NFL and anything could happen. So that should tell you why the spread is as big as it is. And it would be like if Cleveland had beat Baltimore last week.
Yeah. That was 11.5, that game?
That game was 12.
Okay. Now here you go, 12.5.
I did see a look-ahead line for New Orleans, and it was like, I think it was 15.
All right, I bet it goes up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even if it doesn't.
If it's 15,
it will still be the biggest spread of the year.
I'm going to get it right now. It's 15.
Right.
Anyway, good morning. Happy Football Thursday. 803-0550 is our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Predictions on the game tonight. We flirted all week with your favorite memory, Bills Dolphins. And the rivalry is not ending, so it's not like we're looking for games that happen down there. You know, they'll be back here this year, just in the new stadium. But your favorite memory of Bills Dolphins in the current Highmark Stadium. This season is about, among other things, a look back on what the stadium has meant to people, the moments you've had, the memories you've had. I mentioned earlier in the week that my glaring Miami memory is before I'm in the game, in the stadium as a fan. I'm more in the press box in the early couple years of living here, covering the games for ESPN. And the pass from Drew Bledsoe to Peerless Price, where he runs and gets all the way to the end zone. Mm-hmm. That's the game where the Bills run for, or sorry, Ricky Williams runs for 250-yard touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But Peerless gets loose in the snow, hugs Jim Kelly, iconic moment. And so many of these iconic moments with the Dolphins involve snow. And they involve shootouts.
Yeah.
This has been a matchup that has had its share of shootouts. From the Kelly Marino days to even, you know, these last couple years, 32-29 or games. Well, the Bills always shoot out the score, and Miami occasionally keeps up for a little while. So if you have your favorite Dolphins memory kind of locked and loaded, the number one that sticks out for you in this current stadium, give us a call and share it with us. What the rivalry means. It all, of course, means trips down to Miami, which you have not made yet.
No, I'm doing. I think I'm doing it this year.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I think that is planned.
That is
going to do it this year.
It is a must do.
Yeah.
Of all the road trips you can go on for the Bills, like I've been a couple different places. London. That was not great. I mean, the trip was great, but the game was not great. Of all the places you can go, man, Miami is so good. It's Buffalo South, it's a takeover of that stadium. Mm-hmm. It's especially right now in the current climate of how the Bills and Dolphins live. You are just, you know, you're the bully walking in, flexing muscles. You're the king of the castle. And make yourself at home in Miami Stadium. It's just such a great time to be a Bills fan. And this rivalry, you know, do we want it to get back to where the Dolphins are competitive? Some might. We've had that conversation about others.
You know, I think we've already had our fun with, I think the most fun you can have in a rivalry is when the other team is pretty good, but you're great, and they always talk themselves into, and there's always a belief of, okay, maybe this could be the time that they do it. And it just leaves you right on the edge a little bit, maybe even yourself. Like, I've had that doubt about this rivalry for a couple years of, all right, I think, yeah, I trust the Bills are going to win this one, but you know, I mean, 70 points the week before was that, right? Like, what is that going to look like? Maybe this is Miami finally getting on par with you. But just to have that little bit of anxiety and it never happen, like just always be able to beat them, that's the best. That's the best. Yeah. Is when they feel like they're close and they just can't get over the hump, and you're the reason they can't get over the hump. There were stats last year about Miami's record against everybody else under Mike McDaniel and the record against the Bills. And they're like, what, 1-8 or 1-6 against the Bills? But they got like a way above 500 win percentage against everybody else. Like they've been the thing standing in their way of home playoff games.
Yep.
They played in the AFC South the last couple of years. They probably have home playoff games and not have to go to -7 degree Kansas City and freeze to death, or come here on the road in the playoffs, and maybe their existence would be a lot different. That's fun versus this, which is still fun, but when they're demoralized and they're like, this is over and we hate this and the Bills are just going to pummel them probably, like that's still fun, but I think it's more fun when they feel like they're really close.
I've got a let's call it a source in the hospitality industry that sees the other teams coming in and, you know, will occasionally give me a review of what that, how do they look? What's their vibe? And his, whatever, just one person, one sort, saying, yeah, they look like they don't want to be here. Which,
right.
Short week, trip to Buffalo, you wouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, they're not going to talk about the weather being bad. It's beautiful for tonight.
Yeah, 70. Right?
70 degrees, absolutely epic night on tap for tonight in Orchard Park.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Football Friday. Happy Victory Friday. Thursday night game. The Bills win. 31-21 beat the Dolphins. And we are here with you, Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Owen Parker, and Joe Kelly, all four of us here on a Friday morning. It is Friday. I'm not going to forget that the whole day. It's going to be a Friday.
And we have
a full weekend
it.
Off. Tune in on the YouTube stream to see how tired we are. It was not that late of a game, but it was a late game, you know, whatever.
It moved quick. Right? Like for a late game, I said this to my wife at the first half. It was 2 minute warning of the first half. Like it's 9:25.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like the first half took an hour, and then the 2 minutes took like another probably 15 minutes.
Right. It was on pace to go pretty quickly. Bills win and move to 3-0. They now own the NFL's longest home win streak. No team has won more games at home in a row than the Buffalo Bills. And they do it with, you know, some big plays from different people. We'll break it all down with you. 31-21, Bills beat the Dolphins. Next time the Dolphins come to town, I don't know if any one of these apps will let me bet this, but where can I bet close game where the Dolphins take a stupid penalty and the Bills win because of it? Because that's two in a row. Zach Sealer roughing the punter. I mean, man. That's tough. I've said before, Joe, if a team is punting to you, let them. They're giving you, you've stopped Josh Allen with the ball. Now the Bills feel they must give it to you.
Yeah.
Get out of the way, Zach Sealer. What are you doing? Anyway, hey, no problem there for Bills fans. Just if I'm a Miami fan, I go nuts.
That's a player that Mike McDaniel had called out publicly in the media like earlier in the season. Like, that's the when the all the, hey, they're stepping in it in the press conferences started. I think it was right after week one where he called them out by name. Like, hey, we need more from guys. We need more from our cap. We need more from Zach. We need more from Sealer.
Yeah.
He said that. And then that's the guy that kind of loses it for him. Right? Like, they had it. They didn't have the game, but they had momentum. They were getting the ball with a tie football game in the fourth quarter. I mean, had they had a chance to go up at any point during the game with the ball?
The opening drive, they went up 7-0.
Right, okay. Yeah. So after that, maybe,
but
a little bit.
Right, in the second drive. But, yeah, the point is, I think that the Dolphins' defense was doing a fine job. What were they doing? Asking the Bills to make 12-play drives, and the Bills would not make them. They were punting a lot. The Bills' offense kind of got a little stuck in the mud. And Miami's making those stops. Now, maybe if the punt gets downed at the two, Miami doesn't go anywhere and they still lose the game. But, man,
right,
just an incredible – it's not quite an own goal. The phrase own goal, you know, kind of jumps to the front of my mind. But anyway, the Bills win 31-21. And James Cook, another great performance. Like, highlighting the guys that made great plays in this game. Cook, Kincaid, Elijah Moore, Terrell Bernard – Deion Walker
threw on that last play.
Deion Walker is their best draft pick so far. He really might be Jackson Hawes.
Jackson Hawes might be their best draft pick.
It's one
so
of those
far.
Two. They've got nothing from their first three in part because of injuries and guys being inactive. But yeah, their best picks are the fourth and fifth round, which actually tracks. That's how it normally goes.
And the sixth round pick, if you want to throw Dorian Strong a little bit. I mean, they're the fourth, fifth, sixth guys.
He is fast, Dorian Strong.
Yes,
he is noticeably fast, and he can track down anybody to make a tackle.
All right.
So anyway, our phone number is 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. What do you think? What do you think about the Bills' win there? I predict today might be one of those days where people call to talk about how the football team played.
Yeah.
And other people can't believe that people talk about how they played because they just want – they won. What's the problem? I saw on Twitter last night, instant reaction of the game, a lot of, you people have been spoiled and ruined. As you know, you're talking about how they won or what they looked like. Whatever. It wasn't their best performance. It wasn't some sort of perfect game. Although early on it looked like it might be. They're up 14-0. They're doing whatever they want with the ball, throwing to Jackson Hawes, throwing to Tyrell Shavers, whatever they want. And then they just kind of, you know, grind down into what they were.
Well, I mean, how much of that was Miami said, all right, you're – I wondered this yesterday if the league would do this in like a in a more larger scope of, okay, you don't want to throw the ball down the field on us. We're going to move up. We're going to move up, and we're not going to let you do things short, and we're going to dare you to go over the top, and we're going to try to stop your run game. How much of that was what Miami did, and then the Bills couldn't beat them over the top when that's what they were giving them?
I don't know if that's really what happened. I mean, Josh Allen did not attempt to pass beyond 10 yards.
He looked, though. He looked. There were plays where he stood back there, and he was ready to throw it.
Well, why did he throw it? If they dared him,
no one was open.
Well, sure. If they dared him to throw it, he'd throw it. I mean, I got one play where Dalton Kincaid, I think it's Kincaid, draws three defenders on a clear out route. So they're taking away the deep route, and the deep route of that play is Kincaid, and they throw it underneath. And, of course, we saw their favorite play, the orbit motion from Khalil Shakir, right? Get a big play, run orbit motion. That works well. I thought their scheme on Thursday night, last night, was pretty good. We saw the best Dalton Kincaid screen we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Execution, thrown to a spot. Maybe it's the look that they got. He didn't score on the play, but he could have. He was darn close. The touchdown catch he makes, like that might be the best Kincaid game we have seen.
Yeah.
The best one, where you really do see, you know, on the broadcast, who is it? Help me. Herbstreit. Herbstreit says he's got wide receiver skills. I'm brought back to think of him like a wide receiver.
He said that, by the way, after he had a drop,
by the way. That's right. He did say that right after a drop.
A drop, it might be a little aggressive. The safety's hand was in
that's
there.
That's right. Yeah, but he almost gets that one as well. I mean, Kincaid was a hair away from 2 to 3 touchdowns in this game, and I think it's by far the best he's ever looked as a pass catcher. You know, the whole think of him like a wide receiver conversation, if that were his normal game, you would think of him like that, because he was good after the catch. He was good. The catch he makes on the touchdown is
great
hands. The Miami defender falls down because the Miami defender thinks he's going to get a crack at that ball.
Right.
And here come the big mitts of Kincaid to go shoop right out of the air, steal it from him. Because as the ball's in the air in slow-mo on that play, on the broadcast at least, if you're at the stadium, maybe you didn't see this, it started to look like a hospital ball, as they call it for me.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh, Kincaid's going to catch this. He's going to get lit up. But instead, the defender looked like they're going for the pick, and Kincaid snags it out of the air and just kind of walks in. So I thought Kincaid looked great. James Cook is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to steal something from your heart here. James Cook is now Max Afinogenoff. He gets the ball, and I'm on a toss sweep. He gets to one guy, two guys, and I'm out of my seat. You can hear it in the stadium. He gets 4 yards downfield, and it builds. Oh, tripped up by the safety.
Right, there were a couple plays yesterday where he was like real
almost
close to
out
breaking
the gate.
It.
Yeah, like almost out the gate 4 or 5 times. So he's a Afinogenoff because that's what it was like watching him, how fast he was. And when he started his own blue line, you know, did he score every time? No. But you knew there was a chance and he was going to go fast. So Cook is amazing. I'm just couldn't be happier about Cook. And whatever, they've got a lot of things going right for them. They didn't play their best game, and they beat the Dolphins, and here we are. It's a bright and early Friday, Football Friday, and you can give us a ring at 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550.
Did you watch the Prime Vision Next Gen StatsCast at all?
A lot of it, yes.
A lot of it?
There's one thing they need to fix.
What's that?
You can't see the ball.
Hmm.
When Allen throws, you have to wait for the dot guy that's lit up to have the – you can't really see the ball as clearly as you'd want.
That seems like a major thing that would be hard to not notice, but I can't say that I noticed that.
Yeah, can't see the ball.
You can't see the ball.
Nope.
They did show a couple of times on Cook. There was one stat they put – actually, I think they put this on the main broadcast too. The – stat of that they have like one of the highest yards before contact in the league for Cook, but he also is like near the top of the league in yards after contact.
Yep.
It's like they kind of have both things working right now, right? Is they are giving him holes to run through, and then also he is creating beyond that. Although, again, that did kind of get stifled in the third and fourth quarter, right? Like that's part of why they were punting for the third time in a row.
Yeah.
Part of it was couple of runs that you couldn't really get off the ground. I don't think that's Cook's fault. Just, again, Miami did something coming out of the half that the Bills didn't like offensively.
How many carries for Cook in this game? I'm just pulling up the box score right now.
He ended up with 19 carries for 108 yards.
And Ray Davis and Ty Johnson did what?
3 for Ty Johnson and none for Ray Davis.
How many games in before we talk bell cow? He's getting bell cow numbers.
Yeah, these are high percentages.
19-3 and 0.
Yeah,
Ray Davis.
Right.
Did Ray Davis retire?
I saw him on the field a couple times only because Ian Harditz pointed out that he does the same Ashton Jeanty standing up.
Yeah.
But did he play 3 plays in this game? I couldn't tell you. He didn't do anything on the field once I saw him.
They are definitely leaning into Cook. Oh, it's only 3 games. But any sort of idea about load management, make sure you protect this player. I mean, I am now nervous when he goes to the ground. He gets tackled around the ankles. I get nervous, but
he took a hit to the back of the knees yesterday.
Yes,
where
he did.
I thought, like, ooh,
yes,
but he
did.
He got up. He got up.
Miami is.
He did go to the medical tent.
Miami is Achan 12, Ollie Gordon 9. Like, that's committee.
Yep,
that's a pretty even split. 19 for Cook, 3 for Ty Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is a shift. We thought when he signed that extension, he would not see an uptick in carries. We thought. They love the mix they've got right now. They're just going to keep that rolling. And Ty Johnson and Ray Davis are not a part of this offense right now. Not really. I mean, Johnson got a couple of catches, I guess, or a couple of targets. He had one catch for 8 yards. Ray Davis, no catches, no yards, one target. So your production at running back outside of Cook, for Ty Johnson, he had 21 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And James Cook ends up with 118.
Yep.
118. For Cook, and 21 for Ty Johnson. Like, you have a clear bell cow 3 games in.
The uptick has been real, for sure.
Yeah.
Third downs, I guess, is really the only place he's not playing. Like, they're not rotating him off the field in any other situation. All right, third and long, I should even say. Like, that's it. Like, Ty Johnson, I'm watching a 3rd and 7 from last night where they took Cook off and put Ty Johnson on, but that was not many of those plays. Like, Cook is playing, and they need him right now, right?
Yep.
Like,
he's their explosive play.
They need him because they do look like they're searching for it in the pass game, those explosive plays. I don't think they're wanting Allen to run very much. You're not seeing, like, last night, man, against Miami especially, how often he scrambles or tries to run linemen over. And last night just was a very protective game around the quarterback. Like, not running a lot, not really standing back in the pocket very often. He threw the ball quick in this game. There were plays where you might have had something developing down the field, and, like, balls out to James Cook for 5 yards, like, quick dump-offs. It very much was a very intentional offensive game plan to get the ball out quick, run the ball, and not have Josh Allen take any unnecessary risk at all. It was not a game where you were ever going to see Allen, I think, throw for 350 yards.
No, and I saw a couple people pointing out that it might have been the most unexplosive game in NFL history.
And statistically, I think it was.
Yes, right? There were stats on exactly that Tua and Josh combined for the lowest average depth of target between two passers in the next-gen stats era.
Yep, they combined to average, according to next-gen stats, 1.5 air yards per completion.
It's like we watched Navy play.
Right.
Due respect to Navy, they might air it out these days.
Allen only attempted one pass beyond 10 yards. That was the one that Kincaid had in the end zone.
That's technically not correct. He did attempt one to Coleman on the interference, which makes me wonder if that throw to Coleman will get as many interference calls as it gets catches, because he's drawing penalties on those downfield throws. He got held the whole way,
right?
So you can't really judge separation because they get a flag there. They might be more likely to get a flag than they are to get a catch.
Right.
Coleman had a drop. Happens, you know.
Even then, though, it would be 2. Right. Like, it still wouldn't be, out of 29 attempts at that point.
2.
You'd have 2 that went beyond 10 yards, and a lot of them around the line of scrimmage. I mean, it looks like Tua.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, his game kind of looked like Tua's yesterday, a cleaner version of
yes.
Tua's, because Tua will make mistakes that Allen did not make.
Yes. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550.
I mean, the Bills, the clean part of that game, I mean, the key, again, the key is just mistakes.
Yeah,
right?
they don't make big mistakes.
They don't make big mistakes. That Zach Sealer penalty, like, I don't know that it's fair to say, like, the Bills will never make mistakes like that, but when do you see them make a game-changing mistake like that on a punt? Especially from a team captain. And then the pick by Tua at the end of the game in a critical spot. You've got your division rival that you cannot beat on the ropes. Like, you've got the ball. You're moving, right? They're moving the ball. Third downs look like nothing for them. And you just get got by Terrell Bernard. It looked like the easiest interception ever, but that's because Bernard read him, right?
Yep.
The whole way he was 2 steps ahead of Tua. Allen, I mean, the Bills haven't turned the ball over, I saw last night, in 8 games, tying an NFL record. Like, they don't make that mistake. They don't make the mistake at any point during the game, let alone the end of the game. Last interception was against New England last season.
Isn't that a head coach's dream? Is Joe Brady not Sean McDermott's dream come true, because 8 games in a row without a turnover?
Eight games in a row without a turnover. Yeah, it was week 16 against New England, and then you also can throw in the three games before that. So since last year's bye week in week 12, one turnover. I mean, but last night to me is a little bit of evidence of this. Look at the passing chart. Look at how they run the ball. Look at the types of throws that they're playing.
Yeah, they don't put it in harm's way.
Didn't Sal say it with us? Like, the only way that Miami could win this game is you get something, you get turnovers, right? You get mistakes like that. And the Bills played a game to say, we're not going to give you any opportunity for that.
Yeah, they did give them an opportunity, though.
What, once, twice?
No, just the idea but playing that way means we're not giving you an opportunity. The Dolphins, a 12.5-point underdog, had the ball deep in your territory with a chance to tie the game and maybe go for two.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could say that playing mistake-free doesn't give the other team a chance, but playing an inferior team and playing a bit conservative, or we've used the phrase low event, that is a way that the inferior teams usually want to play. They want to keep the other quarterback off the field. So if you tell them, all right, Bills Dolphins, hey, how many drives would you like Josh Allen to have? 10 or 6? They'll be like, how about 6?
Right.
That's what they want. Now, that's part of the Bills' formula for success. They are so, and they have been with Brady, so efficient that they get by with it. But low event games, running the clock, kind of playing the way they play, that is a way to keep teams closer to you. Maybe you feel right. Like you're more in control and you're less likely to make mistakes in those closer games, but you're definitely keeping teams closer.
To where it takes a mistake at the end of the game like that.
That's
the thing. It's funny because that is why last night is close to me. Like, that's why last night's game is close.
It's because the way they played it.
But, like, I really do believe if they wanted to hammer Miami, who was playing corner for that team last night? And then they got injuries early on in the game. Like, well, I know they don't have world-beating receivers, but I watched Daniel Jones shred that defense like no quarter. He was setting records against that defense in week one.
Miami was down 25 defensive backs.
Right.
Like, they are guys off the street.
So I think the Bills, like, if they really wanted to, and they didn't, but if they really wanted to, I think they could have shredded that defense last night. But that's how they play. And to their credit, they bet on the other team making more mistakes than them, and they've done it more consistently than any team in NFL history.
Yeah, I don't know if they could just do it if they wanted to.
Why couldn't they? Every other team will.
If they wanted to, they would do it.
I don't know.
This is the meme. If he wanted to, he would. If Josh Allen wanted to throw for 350 and dump the Dolphins with a couple of laser beams down the field, he would do that, would he not?
He didn't attempt any of the passes last night, and I saw the previous two teams do it. With lesser offenses, lesser quarterbacks, less even receivers weren't. Kayshon Boutte is not Jamar Chase. Like, I think he could have. But he didn't need to.
He could have tried.
He could have tried. And if he tried, he probably would have succeeded. They had nobody back there.
Well, what did it look like? It looked like the first three quarters against Baltimore, where down the field, nobody really gets open. They don't get guys available down the field. Against the Jets, they had a little bit more success, a little bit. But it's definitely a conversation. Like, there's not much of a vertical passing game from this team. And that doesn't mean 40-yard throws. We're talking 12.
Yeah, last night it was just 12.
Last year, there's a throw that goes 12 yards. And that's the only one that goes over 10. So, vertical passing game has not been there. We wondered if Elijah Moore would give them that, if, you know, Keon Coleman could give them that, if Josh Palmer could give them that. And it's just, right now, it's not a part of their offense. Palmer ends up with one catch for 5 yards. Curtis Samuel, a healthy scratch again.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but here's the thing.
They're winning with tight ends, and they're winning with orbit motion. Hey, they're winning with tight ends. They're winning with screens.
The tight end thing looked, I mean, Jackson Hawes is moving people, right? Like, watching that was my favorite part of the Prime Vision cast last night.
Was watching him.
Was watching when they were in, 13 personnel, when they have three tight ends, and just how those tight ends are moving. Hawes is moving linemen. Like, he's keeping Bradley Chubb, like, on the outside on run plays. So, I love what I'm seeing from that part of it. I think you're just going to see a lot of games like that this year, right? Because I could sit here and say, like, I don't think you could play that way against the best teams in the league and get away with it, but they don't play the best teams in the league. So guess what? They could play like that all season long, and they're probably going to win almost every game doing it.
That's right. That's one of my big points I'll make probably every time they win a game like this. If they win the Saints game the same way, or the Patriots, or the Falcons,
right.
It's like if you're looking for them to convince you that they can beat Baltimore in the playoffs, they can't do that until they play Baltimore in the playoffs. If you're looking for them to convince you that they can defensively shut down a team and win a playoff game only giving up 10 points, they can't actually convince you of that until the playoffs. So, you know, we constantly live in this spot where you want to watch them, have fun, have a great time, let's all party, but also, are you showing me that it's different this time around? And that's just really hard to prove in September, because ultimately, if they do, it doesn't really matter until you get to January. Mm-hmm. Mike in Connecticut before the break here on Football Friday. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well today.
Doing great. Victory Friday, you know?
Absolutely. I have two things for you, one on each side of the ball. First one, a little bit quicker. I just feel like we haven't heard Greg Russo's name at all this year. I was at the game last week, so obviously you see it a little bit different than you're watching on TV, but also, I don't know, I just pay him the big money, and he looked like he was continuing to ascend, but just haven't really seen that yet. Trey White's not his best game, but hopefully Max is getting healthy. And the last thing I'll say is never going to ever complain about a win. I think we're doing a great job not turning the ball over, but it just seems like our offense sometimes is so conservative. Like, we have a one-score or a two-score lead, and it's just like we're so prone to just run first and second down and just, you know, obviously you don't want to see Allen turn the ball over, but it's almost like it's so bland. But I'm not going to complain because, obviously, we're winning football games. But just one thing about the offense, too, is the maturation of Allen, to me, is tremendous. I was talking with my dad last night watching the game, and I'm like, you remember years ago we used to be like, we used to go crazy. What is he doing putting the ball in harm's way and lateraling and just throwing crazy passes? And, like, I would have to say he takes care of the ball. I don't have stats or anything, but
sure.
He's got to take care of the ball better than 85-90% of the quarterbacks in the league right now, and it's great to see that development.
This is where I want to say, Mike.
I think it's 100, by the way.
Mike, don't we miss it a little bit? Can we say we miss it a little bit?
What's that?
You know, the lateral and doing crazy stuff. Like, come on, you know?
I miss it just because it's like the thrill. Like, now it's, you know, run up the middle, pitch. It's like, I want to see Josh air it out a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike, for the phone call.
The flip touchdown to Hawes is kind of this.
Yeah, and it's also
like that was a play that
I also think it's a no look flip.
Yeah,
he's not
right,
really looking
right
there. And this is a very small thing. I almost tweeted it out, but I didn't want to do. Watch that play again, and Jackson Hawes, I think he's not quite expecting that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that's the first time they ran the play full speed. That play, you put in plays during the week, and now it's a Thursday. You don't have as much time. First time they run the pass full speed. When Allen kind of like shovel passes that to Hawes, he catches it in the form of when you're knocking a frisbee into a can jam bucket. He like bats it down into his body because he's standing like this. It's kind of funny. I appreciated it. Now, I don't know if it's textbook tight end hands, whatever. Like. He's been very good for them.
I mean, he was in the wrong place originally, right? And they must have loved the look enough where they called timeout and then came right out and ran the same thing. And it worked. He also slipped on the play and it still worked. So they were going to run it. He wasn't in the right spot. And they're like, we gotta call timeout here because we know this play is going to work. That's how it looked.
Right.
And then he slipped on the play and it still worked. So yeah, that was a great play call. And Allen drawing that corner in was definitely necessary to get it.
803-0550, our phone number. Bills win. There's going to be concern about the defense. You mentioning Russo, you're not the first to do it. If I want to bring up a Pro Football Focus grade, should I do that? They grade him pretty well among defensive ends.
Okay.
But not for pass rush, more for run defense. And he gets a good grade for coverage.
How are they grading Tre'Davious White after that game?
I'll take a look at it. Tre'Davious White, listen, I think Terrell Bernard was starting to get in the crosshairs until he makes that big play.
Yep.
Like, you signed Bernard, you signed Rousseau, you know, where's this defense coming together? Whatever. They're missing some pieces. We know that. 803-0550. It is Victory Friday. Khalil Shakir returns to the end zone. Good to see him there. And off we go. The Bills win. The Dolphins lose. They're 0-3. They probably had the kind of performance that does not get a coach fired.
Yeah.
We'll see when that happens.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.